You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast, giving you daily updates and news from around the NBA. Make sure to go give them a listen, a subscribe. Really appreciate the support. Today, we're going to be looking at the Utah Jazz game that's going down tonight. How do they grab a win over the Jazz? We'll be getting into that. But first, we should probably touch on the recent news that just came out literally a couple of minutes ago. Just popped up on the radar. It is that Jimmy Butler, not only is he not going to play today, but he is also going to probably be taking about a 6 week long absence. Now, that's from a report from Shams. He writes for, he reports for Stadium, writes for The Athletic. I'm sure you've seen his work all over the place. Great basketball coverage from him. He's a great Twitter follow as well. If you haven't followed him yet, you should definitely go and do so. But that he is the one coming live with the report. And so what does this mean for the Timberwolves? Well, I talked about this a little yesterday, but those growing pains of learning to live without Jimmy Butler, learning to live without the best player on your team, that's happening right now. What does that mean for the Timberwolves in the short term? You have to lean and trust on both guys that have proven themselves, veterans, and you've got to start asking more of your young guys. Guys like Josh Okogie, you've got to ask more of them. I know that he's been growing and he has been kind of stretching his game, learning the new NBA ropes, learning how to play the NBA game, but now you've got to ask a little bit more of him. You've got to say, all right, we see the steps that you've made. We see the growth that you've already had, but now we need you to take that next step. Things are happening that make you, that we need to have forced our hand and we need to expect a little more out of you. Andrew Wiggins is still questionable for tonight. You don't know where he is at. You don't know if you're going to have him in this game quite yet, still questionable. So you need to be comfortable with Josh Okogie handling and shouldering a little more of this load. It's going to be tough. There are going to be some growing pains. Also, I think it's fair to say, all right, Towns, this is your chance to step up. This is your chance to be the max contract guy. Really challenge these players. Really challenge these guys. When Wiggins comes back, challenge him. It's time to take over this team. You guys have to be the guys. We should not have Jimmy Butler leave and still lose sight of the expectations for this season. I know that people around, this is the coach. Coaches should be saying this to players. I know that the expectations around this organization from the outside, people are going to change those expectations. They're going to expect less of us. We cannot expect less of ourselves. That has to be the mindset. Otherwise, they're going to get into a slump and they're going to play poorly. They're going to lose games. They're going to look disinterested. If they get into a slump, it's going to spiral quickly. They need to respond to this strong. They need a strong response out of this, and they need to come after right away. Come after the Utah Jazz. You're playing at home. This is the last homestand in a three-game stint over the last just under a week, over the last 5 days. Come after the Utah Jazz. Come out looking strong and try and look. If you can come out strong and show a united front even through this adversity, even through all the stuff happening with Butler, he's trying to get out. He's trying to make it apparent to the Wolves organization that this is what really needs to happen. You cannot actually keep me here. That's not an option on the table. You've got to trade me. He's trying to handle his business. The Timberwolves need to handle theirs. Don't worry about it. Go out there, perform. You've got max contract players on this roster. They need to play like it. They need to act like it. You saw some of that from Towns. He came out furious in that first half against the Lakers. That needs to be the way he plays against the Utah Jazz tonight, especially with a matchup like the one he has against Rudy Gobert. Come out firing. Come out being a dominant player against a really good defensive center. If you can do that, that shows a lot. And then as far as the other guys too, you need Derrick Rose, you need Anthony Tolliver around these guys being the verbal leaders. I mean, they can do stuff on the court as well, but they are veterans in the locker room. You need them to help steady the ship here. And you need them to be coming around younger players and saying, all right, this is part of what happens in the NBA. This is also a business. You got to focus on what you can do for this team and not focus on what your teammates are doing around you. He's handling his business side of the game right now. Don't let it seep into your game. Don't let it seep into your consciousness when you're prepping for this game during the game time. Don't let interviews before or at halftime throw you. That you got to focus and lock into this game right here and what you can do to make this team better for this game and this moment. They've got to be the guys that steady the ship here a little bit. And you need Towns then to go out and lead this team with his actions. That's what's got to happen. You got to come out right away and be strong. Because if you start to spiral, this team is not one that can just leap out of a bad stretch. When they get in a funk, it's there to stay for a while. And so they need to avoid spiraling quickly, because otherwise that can get out of control, especially on a roster with the youth that they have and with some of the locker room drama that's been going on. They need to avoid a spiral right away. So they need to come out strong against the Jazz. How do they do that? How do they come out strong against the Jazz? Well, I was looking over a couple things headed into this game, looking over a couple stats. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell is the centerpiece of what makes the Utah Jazz tick and what makes them hum. They can have a bad game from Donovan and still win, but obviously you can affect them the most, impact them the most by affecting Donovan Mitchell's offensive production. So where is he going to be dangerous? Where is he going to really affect the Timberwolves? Well, looking at some of his shot selection, looking at some of the ways he attacks defenses this season, if you're going off of the six-game sample size, if you're looking at Donovan Mitchell's frequency for shots, catch and shoot, 20%, pull-ups, 33%, less than 10 feet away from the basket, 46%. He is doing a lot, especially of the catch and shoot stuff. He's averaging 43%, but if you look at the other two shots, pull-ups, less than 10 feet away from the basket, averaging well over 51 and 56% respectively in those categories. He's doing a good job of creating his own shot. And you see, when you take a deeper look here, when he has 3 to 6 dribbles, he's attacking those with a 30% frequency rate, and he's shooting 42% of those. That's his most common shot, is when he's controlling the offense, when he is setting up his shot. He can get into an isolation zone sometimes, but he's also averaging 4.3 assists this year. So you know he can play off of when he's got the ball in his hands, dribbling, and then he's grabbing those pull-ups. He's getting to the basket, getting around the basket. Then off of that, he's able to create shots for his teammates. So right away, you know, the Timberwolves, if you can jump out and double him, if you can jump out and make sure that he is looking at really contested shots, he's good at taking tight shots. If you look at the closest defender, tight defense, 2 feet or closer, 2 to 4 feet, he shoots frequency, especially 2 to 4 feet, 46% of the time, knocks down 45% of his field goals with pretty tight defense on him. So you've got to really bother him. You've got to really be up in his face. You've got to really be in that 2 feet or closer zone, really have a hand on him. Got to really get up in his comfort zone. It'll be interesting to see with Butler out this game. I imagine that Okogie is going to get a lot of those defensive responsibilities against Donovan Mitchell. First of all, he is a superb athlete. So it'll be interesting to see when Donovan Mitchell throws some tricks at him, throws some moves at him, can he catch up and can he make up for some lapses on the defensive side first? And second, can he be sticky on him? Can, for the most part, can you just be in his radius the whole game? Can you be around him? Can you run with Donovan Mitchell? This is going to be a big test for Okogie. He's going to pull a lot of responsibility in this game. Looking at more of the Utah Jazz, obviously with their star doing what he does, they're kind of fading towards a bunch of the styles of play. You see their frequency as a team. The second most after zero dribbles is 3-6. Obviously, he's having an impact on that. But it's interesting with guys like Joe Ingles on this team, their catch-and-shoot frequency as a team, 29%, and 27% frequency from three-point range are catch-and-shoot shots. They knocked down 34% of those. Less than 10 feet, obviously, Rudy Gobert has a big reason for why they're taking 49% frequency rate on their field goals in less than 10 feet, knocking down 55% of those. What am I getting at with all these numbers? I think that this team is going to attack you in isolation, whether that's – or not even isolation, but you're going to have the ball handler attack your rim, first of all. In the first half, you're going to have Donovan Mitchell. You're going to have Ricky Rubio. They're going to be handling the ball. They're going to make this a half-court offense, and they're going to attack you. Donovan Mitchell, going to take a lot of dribbles. Ricky Rubio, going to take a lot of dribbles, and they're going to attack you. Off of that, they're going to find guys on the catch and shoot like Joe Ingles, and they're going to attack you from the outside later on in this game. You've got to be wary, and you've got to stick to your opponent, and you've got to stick to your man. This team in wins against the Timberwolves shot 37% from the three-point line, but they attempted 31 threes. They're going to shoot a lot from outside on this team. They're going to shoot a lot from outside, and then off of that, Rudy Gobert is going to be able to clean up around the rim. So it's going to be really important first to stick to your man, stay sticky to your guy. You've got to be around and play close defense. And you can't be – there's not going to be a ton of help because that's what they're looking for, to get guys on the catch and shoot, especially on the perimeter. But get guys on the catch and shoot, they're going to be looking outside and they're going to be trying to move the ball around once they get you committed to Donovan Mitchell, get you committed to Ricky Rubio. And then for Towns and Taj Gibson down low, you've got to box out. You've got to get Rudy Gobert and these big guys, you've got to get them out of the paint. You've got to get them away from the basket. Those are the guys that are going to really hurt you once they start getting this offense humming, because they're going to clean up the rim. They're going to clean up the basket. They're going to excel at that. These are Rudy Gobert's a top five center, right, in the league. He's a top five center. And he's going to really bully, especially Towns. And Towns has got to come out, and he's got to play very aggressive. Sometimes he can go away in these games. You see it against LaMarcus Aldridge all the time. When you're supposed to play physical, when LaMarcus Aldridge really wants to take you into the post, sometimes you can see Towns kind of go away, kind of play a little lackluster, not as aggressive as you know he can. He's got to really come after in front of the home crowd, Rudy Gobert. He's got to really bully back and fight fire with fire. He's got to be pushing and shoving and getting dirty with Rudy Gobert. He cannot let him just have his way down there. The other thing you can do too is on offense, you can try and stretch this team out. The Timberwolves, not last year, obviously not a good three-point shooting team, not just categorically a good team from the perimeter, but against the Utah Jazz in the wins, they had shot 40% from three. Again, this is a team that was terrible from three-point range and averaged only around 22 three-point attempts per game. But against the Jazz, they averaged 40% from three. They can knock down threes against this squad. They need to stretch this team out. If they can hit threes and then speed up the game and keep it out of the half court, move the game, the pace of the game, to somewhere where the Jazz aren't going to be comfortable. The Jazz can play fast, but the Timberwolves are a better fast-paced team. That's their advantage right there, is to play up-tempo and then really stretch the defense. Especially if you can get their big guys playing out on Towns, if you run a smaller lineup with just Towns as the sole big man out there, and you have him go out to the three-point line, stretching that out, That's going to open up a lot throughout the middle of the paint, and it's going to keep these guys gassed. They're not going to be able to keep up when you're running a small ball lineup with Towns at the five, and you have them running down the floor. You have your guards running down the floor. They're not going to be able to keep up. This team wants to play in the half court. They want to play in the half court. And so if you're the Timberwolves right now, you've got to really attack that aspect of their game. And you've got the guys for it. Derrick Rose has been playing up-tempo. Jeff T has been able to play up-tempo. Tyus Jones can push this team's offense to a faster pace. Josh Okogie, a superb athlete, can move the floor. Even when Towns gets dedicated and plays fast, he can beat most of these guys down the floor because he is an awesome athlete, a unicorn. They can do this. They've just got to be committed to it. And again, this team does not have a great defense. The Jazz are going to go on runs. Donovan Mitchell is an all-star. The Jazz are going to go on runs. The Jazz are going to knock down some shots. But they did that last year. There was the first game they played, they had Rodney Hood, I believe, is my memory going to fail me now? I believe it was near the end of the third quarter they had Rodney Hood knock down those three triples in a row against them. But you got to just weather those storms. And when you're a bad defense that can grab turnovers, and Josh Okogie is going to grab you some turnovers, Tyus Jones is going to grab you some turnovers, some steals, you just got to take advantage of those. Grab a steal, push the pace to the floor, get a bucket. That's how you neutralize some of this really good Jazz defense, and that's how you make up for some of your poor defense. We were talking about this earlier this week. That's what the Timberwolves can do against this Jazz team. We're going to get to a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk about predictions. First, some sponsors. So I outlined some of the stats that lead me to believe that the Timberwolves can have and find some edges in this game, can find some ways to really excel against this Utah Jazz squad. Let's get to some predictions. I think the Jazz are going to want to keep this a half-court game, want to slow the pace down. And I think that ultimately, whatever team you are, if you can keep the Timberwolves under 100, that's a win. Every single team they're going to play, whether they're an offensive team, whether they're going to attack you outside, inside, whether they're a defensive team, the formula to beat this Timberwolves squad is slow pace and keeping the game under 100. If you can mold your game to that, or if you excel at that, those are the ways to beat the Timberwolves. You just got to try and do those two things. Obviously, then you want the Timberwolves to score over 100. I think that this game goes 110-105. The Timberwolves come out big and get a big win without Jimmy Butler after some traumatizing news. If you're a Timberwolves fan, if you're a Timberwolves faithful, that Jimmy Butler is going to be gone for the next few weeks, even though he's still on the team and you haven't gotten anything yet for him in a trade. So this would be a really big bounce back win for them after that news broke just 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. So that would be a huge victory for them. Again, 110-105, I think, is the end score. I think you have Towns. He has to have a monster night for this to be an actual reality. So I think he drops 30 and 15 for boards, also grabs seven assists, but he has to have a big night, and I think he has to beat the Jazz a couple of different ways. He has to help the Timberwolves out in transition. I think he needs a couple fast break points. I think he needs to knock down two or three three-pointers, really stretch that defense in a couple ways they're not comfortable going out and guarding the three-point line. And I think that Derrick Rose and Anthony Tolliver need a big night off the bench. I want to see 30 points combined from them at least 30 points combined from them off the bench. And you need Josh Okogie to play well. He doesn't need to be scoring, but you need him to get transition buckets. He needs to have a couple fast break points, a couple transition buckets, at least 10 of those, and he needs to get three or four steals. Defensively, he needs to be big. He needs to play sticky on Donovan Mitchell, and he needs to get turnovers for the Timberwolves. And if he can grab some fast break points, that helps too. But points is not going to be the big emphasis for him. He just needs to knock down, he needs to shoot a lot of threes. If he can knock down just two or three of them and he shoots eight, I'd be totally fine with that. Defense is where he really needs to show up tonight against the Utah Jazz. So those are some predictions. Also for the Jazz, I think that Donovan Mitchell, whether the Timberwolves win or lose, I think he still drops around 25, 28 points. He's just really good. And you saw this even against early in the season against the Sacramento Kings when he started out slow and he missed a ton of shots in that first half. He still finds way. He's such a good player, and good players find ways to score. He still will get to the free throw line. He'll still find a shot inside, little floaters that will work if he's not knocking down threes. He'll find a way to score. He'll get his. The goal really here is to make sure that he is the only one finding shots. You're not letting Rudy Gobert clean up around the rim. You're not letting Joe Ingles and the outside shooters, Jay Crowder, get involved in this game in a big way. You're not letting guys like Dante Exum come off the bench and play well. You're not letting Rubio start to find a rhythm at point guard. That's the key here, is to get the rest of the offense out of rhythm, because I really don't know if there's a way to get Donovan Mitchell out of a rhythm. That said, if you can keep him neutralized for runs of this game, I think the Timberwolves can go on a run and then throw the Utah Jazz in a funk, and that's going to be key. Also, I think you'll know right away what's going down. There's a lot of drama going on around this team, and especially today. I think you're going to know how this game is going to go after the first quarter. Now, I know there's a lot after the first quarter, there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but I think this is one of those games where the Timberwolves come up flat. They're just in a funk. They're feeling some of the drama. They're feeling some of the pressure of the Jimmy Butler situation. They're feeling not having Wiggins back. I think, and again, he is questionable. He is listed as questionable right now for the game at this moment. So it's a toss of whether he's back. But if he's not there, if you got Jimmy Butler out in the first quarter, I think you're going to tell what this team, how this team is going to play and how this team is going to come out and perform against the Jazz. And so really watch the first quarter carefully. Watch for some of that stuff from Rose, Tolliver, from Okogie, from Towns, from Donovan Mitchell. All that is going to be important in keying in on this game. And watch how close the defenders are right away. They need to be very tight on this Utah Jazz team. All right, that's what I'm looking for. Those are my predictions. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.